The Saturday morning at Haldon always starts a little sleepier than the rest of the weekend, mainly because most people didn't go to bed till at least 4 o'clock in the morning. There was a lot of partying going on in the field last night. Nothing to do with the festival itself, just people hanging out at the campsites and playing music and lighting fires and setting each other alight and drinking lots of beer and things. And of course that means the Saturday morning normally starts a tad later than the Friday, so everyone kind of starts to come alive just as the morning's really heating up. And my god, let me tell you, it was hot this morning. And so yeah, we have another beautiful sunny day. It's time to wander into town through the cornfields, past all the cows who are lazing around with nothing better to do than eat grass and shite all over the place. And that's pretty much the kind of mood that we're all in. It's just a lazy, chilled out morning, and it's day three. Hello.
Hello.
And hello.
Go. Oh.
He's still going.
Well, you know why, don't you, James?
Yeah, because you turned it off.
Yeah. And also, if there should be any burglars in the area, simply go down to Norma in Haldon, and they're selling these beautiful, 3-inch high dogs. that have a little
very loud guard dogs.
Very loud guard dogs. Well, if you were a gnome, yeah, or a midget,
yeah,
or
if you're a house fly, brownie.
You might be scared of it, but as it is, I think you might trip over it with your trainers kind of thing. But there we are, exciting stuff nonetheless from Haldane's premier supermarket. Yes. And you find us, the barking might give you an idea that we're not actually trespassing on anyone's garden or in Norma, but we're back in the shed,
yeah,
knackered.
We're clean.
we're cleansed. I think cleanse is the word that we could use.
Yeah, but before we just basically entertain you with
nothing at all.
Yes, but no, I'll let you know that the kind of perils of trying to clean mud off your feet after 3 days.
Oh yeah.
We should probably carry on with what we promised we would do, and just that is
tell you all about
day three, yep, at Haldon, Saturday the 14th of August.
That's right.
And it began once again in the bar.
It did.
Well, actually, that's not quite true. It began outside the bar because
we couldn't get in.
B, it was far too hot to go in there anyway.
Exactly.
So there was a very wonderful atmosphere. I mean, the first band was on at 11:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Who were the Black Atlantic.
Yep. And their
name, I really don't think suits them at all.
No, I think this is the thing. You had this. I mean, if you have a name like the Black Atlantic, it's like the Nicholas Montserrat booking Is It the Cruel Sea. You're expecting something that is a bit brooding and dark. And what we got was sort of quite elegiac, folksy pop. You can always tell these records because they always have handmade covers. There's cute little drawings of various flora and fauna done in that sort of childlike way, which I think is some sort of program on some paint application or whatever these things are. And you look at it and you think, right, I know what I'm going to get. I'm going to get harmonies, I'm going to get banjos or other various paraphernalia that don't really constitute a rock and roll instrument.
And if we're lucky, we might get a tambourine.
And a tambourine.
And then, of course, we got all three.
And we got all three and lots of harmony. It was actually a very nice gig.
Yeah.
From outside.
Very, very nice is very aptly put, because what I enjoyed most was just the atmosphere outside, because it was, like I say, it was very warm. Everyone was a bit worse for wear, considering the state everybody was in the night before. So there were a lot of people just kind of half zombified.
But
everyone was just sitting down, but not kind of on chairs or on tables or walls, but just in the road. So there was a whole corner of Haldon cut off, because there were about 500 people trying to get into a bar that held about 40 comfortably.
Yeah.
Just sitting around and making sure that cars really couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And everyone just sat around listening to these lovely long-haired fellas just basically say we want to be the Fleet Foxes.
Yeah, it was another one of these.
Like, they saw quite well last year. We'll do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
But they did give a very, very one of my favourite moments of the weekend. Actually, is at the end of their gig, they basically walked out of the sweating sauna that they were planning.
They might well have been sawing and things. For all we know.
It would suit just building a cabin.
Yeah.
But no, they came out and they stood outside in the street, and there was this wonderful moment where everyone just gathered round them, and then they sung a song about how monsters were here, and everybody sung along with them.
Yeah, it was really nice.
It felt like being at a proper little church theatre.
It was.
A school recital.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful little moment. Everyone just stood outside, and then when the gig finished, everybody raced back in. it was a big rush to get back inside
the
band.
That's because they wanted to go to the bar.
Yes, but I have to say, you can tell a band goes down well when there are at least 40 people walking around afterwards with green vinyl in their hands.
Yeah, they did very well. They did some very good sales on that.
Yeah.
And after that was a man called
Moss
from Excelsior, from Holland. They're on an Excelsior label, I think. And there, I've heard their records before, and I wasn't that sort of enamoured with them. I thought they were all right. But they put on a hell of a gig. At one point, they started to morph into what sounded like La Dusseldorf and Noi with a sort of bit of a metronomic beat. Then they had a certain rocky element to them, that they had sort of a bit of guided by voices, these sort of increasing chord changes, if you know what I mean. It was all major chord changes. I quite enjoyed them. I think it was a good little change of space.
I thought they were a lot of fun. I thought I had a real good time with them, because it was nice to see, to be honest, it was nice to hear a Dutch band who've got a bit of a sense of funk about them. A bit of soul in them, because they were quite dancing. They got me tapping me foot.
Yeah.
They got me wanting to go to the bar quite quickly, because they'd been dancing around, and there were people stood outside on the street looking through a window and shaking their backsides around, which was
always good. Yeah.
And because they'd seen the Black Atlantic come out and do this wonderful moment, they thought, we've got to do something a bit different, but something similar and effective. So a man walked out with a tambourine, which really wasn't the same kind of effect.
And then couldn't get back in.
Yes. Couldn't get back on stage for the end of the show. But it was. They saw, and they made us tap our feet a bit.
Yeah, we thought they were great, actually. Yeah.
Moss, yeah, I would...
Absolutely.
And then things went a bit...
slightly wrong.
Well, it went in a couple of directions.
Yeah, it did.
I basically legged it back up to the Hauptbühne to catch, because unfortunately I missed the Young Rebel set, but I can't say I was that bothered about them, apologies to them anyway, but I went to catch Portugal the Man, who was fantastic, really, really good, and he was playing the largest guitar I've ever seen in my life. It looked like he'd strapped a double bass around his shoulders, and I can't decide whether he's really, really tiny, or whether he was playing a guitar that was ridiculously too big for him.
Yeah.
But they were a lot of fun, and considering when I've heard them on record, I thought they like to kind of make a bit of a racket, but they're quite pleasant. But it was like every song was a tale of two cities, a game of two halves, Match of the Day fans will like. But basically, because everything started off, right, we'll give you a nice little tune, we'll get you dancing, and then, right, we're just going to thrash out for 5 minutes.
Yep.
So you basically got this nice, sweet little number, and then you got a lot of just jamming, which was really good. I thought it was brilliant.
Yep.
But you went on a magical mystery trip, didn't you?
I can't really read maps, and outside the pop bar it said, well, if you go down this road and then turn right, you should be able to find this street. It did say street, Pop Pickers, and it said, well, go to the street and you'll find the recording studio. Now, naively, in my trusting way, I thought, oh, well, that must be in the village. It can't be next to the campsite. Despite a couple of companions said, I think it's near the campsite, Richard. So we went round every sort of available cul-de-sac that Haldane has to offer. Found no joy there whatsoever, apart from a very weird scene going on in someone's back garden where they were chasing a dachshund around, but that's another story. And eventually...
They were making sausages.
They were. went the long way around to find myself about 100 yards from our tent, which is not what you need.
In a building we've looked at for many a year.
For many a year, yeah. So I was up there, and it's a lovely little recording studio, a very beautiful thing, to see Nils Fromm, whose records I really like, and I really like these label erased tapes. First of all, when we got there, it wasn't the end of the sort of the salt course of, you know, trying to see the man. because it turned out that they were recording it for a Haldane recording, and Nils had decided in a fit of enthusiasm to play for 25 minutes, one song. Then, as soon as that finished, we walked into possibly a sauna that had been used as a recording studio, with about 100 people packed into a space for 20. There was a little thermometer on the wall which said 40 degrees, and I thought, oh shit. And, so I thought to myself, okay, please Neil, don't play another 25 minute Sickner, because he's going to kill us. And took in two songs about 10 minutes, and then just literally had to jump out of the room with about, there's a marvellous relay, I think, of people trying to get in, and the people desperate to get out, because they were just lost their body weight in sweat. But then stood outside and listened to the rest of his magnificent piano work. He's very much like Harold Budd, and he's a very charming and engaging guy. He's not some sort of serious chap. He's a very very suave in the way he plays. He's really, really worth watching. But anyway, I stood outside the studio and just looked over the field in the hot sun of about 2-3 o'clock, and it was as if time had stopped. It was a very, very beautiful moment, because his piano work is beguiling. It has a sort of, it lulls you into a sense of just, you know, floating around as if time decides just to stop. Oh, it was absolutely marvellous, and I thought to myself, well, all right, I've just done 2 hours walking, just lost about a pound in sweat, but, you know, you can't miss moments.
You came back from that as if you'd just met God. You came back with a big grin on your face, and your straw hat on your head, and your clothes stuck to you with sweat. You looked like you'd just walked out of the lake, and it was like, I've been wandering and found God.
I found God, yeah, exactly. It was absolutely amazing. It was an absolutely amazing moment, I really have to say. And then after that, we saw
in
things,
the tent,
didn't we?
There was everything, and I have to admit that I saw absolutely nothing.
No, I'm afraid, sorry. But we did hear they were very good.
I did hear they were very good, but someone else told me that they were absolutely woeful. And so, used words that are not broadcastable in German.
Not broadcastable in German. Okay, so there you go.
Yeah. And then Fanfalo came on. Yeah. Who, I have to say, they kicked up a bit of a racket. They were all right.
Right. I think they're okay, Fanfalo.
Yeah, I can't say I was too enamoured with them, but they passed the time quite nicely. Yeah. And they did what they came to do, I think.
Yeah. No,
they were very nice and good for that time of the afternoon where we all needed to just relax a bit.
Exactly.
And you needed to cool down.
Yeah, okay. get some liquid inside me.
It was good. And then there was Helgi Jonsson.
Which I just about missed, actually, which I'm quite annoyed about, because I've heard a lot of good things about Helgi Jonsson. But we then ended up in the Spiegel tent for the low anthem, and at that point, because a lot of the gigs so far have been quite soporific, there was a lot of devotional, very, I won't say serious isn't the right word, but quite refined, quite refrained music, if you will. And then the low anthem came on and started with another set of you know, Sunday school music, effectively. It's all this thing where there was a clarinet on stage, kids. And I was thinking, oh God, not another set of folk tunes. Which is, I mean, I like folk tunes, don't get me wrong.
There was a lot
of hair. As I said to Damien at the time, I thought someone's gone round a barber's shop, hoovered up the floor and glued it on the head. Mm. But they actually, it was funny, because instead of sitting in the tent, which is getting ridiculously hot at that point, we went outside to where the big screen is, just outside the tent, where now it's developing into quite a cool little scene with the open-air bar. And it's just as good as going in the tent.
It sounds really good.
Because the sound and the vision is fantastic. And, of course, you can drink in the open air. And the low anthem just proceeded to kick off with a set that was very reminiscent of things like Tom Waits, but in a very, very good way. It's a real angry growl. They had a magnificent set.
Yeah, what I liked about them is they all played everything.
Yeah.
And it was like it was like a massive game of musical chairs on stage, because they were all taking it in turns to do different things. And they do look like they've just walked out of like the
Exhibition
Paint Your Wagon or something. But they were I thought they were excellent. They were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And considering we weren't kind of in the mood for any more kind of low folky acts or something.
No.
And they impressed us.
Oh yeah, they really gave
us so much so that I ran back inside to applaud them at the end.
Fantastic, yeah.
And then Frightened Rabbit were on the main stage, and I can't say I saw any of them.
No, we were just in the beer garden at the stage.
Blood Red Shoes came on, and they kicked up a hell of a racket for the two of them. They're a good band, but
I like Blood Red Shoes.
We've seen them enough, so we had other things to do. And then things kind of went a bit bizarre for the two of us, because we had some official business to do, which we will kind of introduce you to later. But that took so long to sort out that we ended up catching bits and pieces of different
of everyone,
bands
yeah.
for the next 3 or 4 hours.
So we can put a veritable sort of nice little jigsaw together of various bands. I mean, we did see a bit of Villagers, didn't we?
Who we were, did. Yeah. I saw a lot more of Villagers than you did because you were whisked off to another part of the festival whatsoever, and then didn't materialise for
at all.
About an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So I was left backstage waiting for the same person you were, but in a different part of the festival ground. And then I thought, well, seems as I'm here, I may as well watch Villagers while they're
precisely,
on.
Precisely,
so
yeah.
I caught them from the back of the stage, and I have to say, they went down a storm.
Yeah,
and
those
kids, they really enjoyed themselves.
Yeah,
really did. And the drummer, I honestly thought he was going to die. I've never seen... Well, actually... The only person I've ever seen as wet as that was you when you came out of Nils Fram.
Yeah.
There wasn't an ounce of him that wasn't sweating.
And then he went to play football.
Stuck to it. Yeah, but he may as well have done, because it looked like he might as well have just jumped in the lake.
Yeah,
soaking. But they went down a storm.
They were great.
Very, very good. And, I think Villagers, they're going to be around for they're going to do well this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And I know they're kind of on the... on the upslope, but seems because of watching them and having to hang around in different places, we missed Efterklang again.
Yeah, okay. How did we manage to miss that? I've not seen Efterklang despite having numerous free opportunities to see Efterklang.
Yeah, me too.
For the past 6 years.
I know.
I've seen them once, and I was told, oh well, it's not, honestly, they're really good normally, you have to see them again one time, and I've been promising myself to see them again, and despite them trying to split up without me seeing them, they came up to Haldon, and then I was waiting for someone backstage when I completely missed Efterklang.
Yeah. But we were told they were fantastic.
Typical.
So it would be the case that they've become like the new Pearl Jam for me, because it took me about 12 years to actually get to see them. So I think Efterklang are going to be the band that I always miss.
And I saw a bit of Sophie Hunger. I thought she was... I mean, I like her album, actually. It's a very... forthright... She's a very forthright young lady with a good pop sensibility. It's a mix between... slightly craftworky, slightly electronic pop music, and a bit of how would you put it? Sort of modern woman's issues, if you will. It's good stuff. I really quite like her, but it's not an easy. I don't think she's got much of a vibe, and I think that was one thing that I noticed about the set. There was something there about her. I thought, well, she's actually really quite interesting, but you really wouldn't have gone out of your way to see it if you wouldn't have known she was about, and that's a shame. I think she's who was that? Who did we go and see that time when they absolutely completely rocked out, and we'd seen them earlier in the year, and I've forgotten who they are now.
The big hair. Jonas Policewoman.
Jonas Policewoman. It's similar to that, albeit a bit more electronic, if you know what I mean. It's female singer songwriter. It's good stuff, but it's one of these things where you're sort of missing the vibe. But I would go and check her out, and then after
while you were over there, I was still at the tent.
Oh, you were at the tent,
and I watched Bear in Heaven.
Yeah,
who I have to say were very, very pleasing indeed.
Yeah, good album.
They came, they saw, they did the business, and they've got some good music. I like their album.
Perfectly acceptable math rock, isn't it?
Yeah, they have some good T-shirts as well. I have to say,
they do.
And it was nice to see some other bands actually. I noticed a member of Villagers was walking around with a Bear in Heaven T-shirt, which was good. But it was a nice show. It was for the few people that were in the tent to watch them.
Yeah,
because they didn't have the largest crowd in there.
No.
But they went down well. They were good. Good fun. But at that point, after that, I decided I had enough and managed to make my way over to the other side of the festival ground where you were.
Yeah,
and then we dragged one of the organisers of the Haldon Festival,
Stefan Reichman. Yep.
We dragged him to one side and said, you, come here and talk to us for a bit.
We did.
So while we play with some bubble wrap, we'll give you a quick listen to what we got into.
Just don't play with the bubble wrap. Don't play with the bubble wrap! Now we're sat backstage in the wonderful Haldon Festival with Stefan Reichman, who runs Haldon. He's the impresario of Haldon, I suppose, and he's the man who... brings all the great bands.
The man who makes this wonderful festival.
He does, yeah. He does indeed. And we've got about 3-4 questions, and then we're going to leave him alone because he's running around like a blue ass fly on you today. Stefan, I always wanted to ask you that every year we see you, and you always have this very, very strong vision of Haldon.
But in some ways you have this idea of Halden that you keep in your head. Now what is it that you love about this festival and what do you want to bring to it?
I don't know the word in English, but when I was a child, I started to listen to music. I like the Beatles and stuff like this.
Yeah.
When I like songs, I put the records under my arms, go on the bicycle and drive to France.
Yeah.
And say to them, listen to this, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think in this moment everything starts.
Yeah.
To bring attention on things they are completely like. I will tell it everybody.
Yeah.
And I go to festivals, and I saw festivals where there was a big distance between what happened on stage and what happened between the audience. Mm-hmm. And then I got a clue about my own vision of a festival, yeah, to do it with friends. And to do it for friends, but for people that are really enthusiastic in music.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to create it, it's not a question to have everything perfect, all the plastic stuff or stuff like this. I think it's more to find musicians. There are no on the radio list, there are no front pages or stuff like this.
Yeah.
To discover music in the corners of nowhere with great potential. And over the years we develop a network from people, they have the same clue on it, and musicians they are playing here, they're completely impressed, and they send mails and say, hey, I saw a new band in Chicago or in Montreal or Paris, or in Bern or probably in Groningen or in Düsseldorf.
Yeah.
Or in Düsseldorf.
I mean, we've spoken to musicians in the past. I mean, I've spoken to Neil Hannon at the Divine Comedy, who absolutely adores this place. I've spoken to Duke Special, who was, it basically said he played here because Neil Hannon told him. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And there is an atmosphere about the place, but what impresses me most is the fact that when you walk through, although yes, you need sponsorship to get certain things done, you need this, that, and you need that, but it's one of the few festivals in Europe that you can walk into and you don't see 4,000 billboards before you get to a stage.
No.
And the stage doesn't have a name above it, and it doesn't have a thing. It's
actually, yeah,
you put the nail on the head, where it's about that kind of link between the audience and what the band are doing, and it's about that love of music.
I think it's a question of respect. I think the story is that on the festival, the attention from the audience is focused on the musician. And I think we have a place to tell the story with our partners. And at the conditions, or that we need stories where it makes sense to have a sponsor.
Yeah.
And the sponsor can do something for the audience, something for us, and everybody get a clue about we're in the same boat, to make a lovely weekend. But we don't like all this color festival, and everybody's noisy, everybody will tell you, everybody will sell you.
So you want something. A festival with no ego, effectively?
No, I will a festival at first that music finds an audience.
Mm. Fantastic.
And impress the audience. I think that is our wish. To drink a beer with friends, to play football, to go swimming, I think coordinates of your childhood are the key of success. It's a story for this year.
Yeah.
And it's a very playful vision of a weekend.
Yeah, but it never seems to me that it's about trying to take as much money from people as possible. And there's a lot of festivals you go to that it's all, like, whatever you do, there's somebody, that they're just trying to get as much money. And but here, I mean, walking around, the amount of children here this year is such an impressive sight. And I mean, you see little children, it looks really cute, the little children with large earmuffs on to protect their ears. But people are bringing their kids here. We spoke to people who we haven't seen for 5 or 6 years, but they're back again, and they've got their 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 year olds with them.
Mm.
And they're here just because it's such a great little atmosphere.
Yeah.
That it is complete. It is a different kind of ethos,
yeah,
to the other things, which are aimed at those people who've got like the 18 to 30 crowds, who've got lots of disposable income who want to just get here and get them to get as much stuff as possible.
I think festivals normally now more instruments of marketing than on music festivals. That's what we lose. And I think it's not a question of marketing to do a festival, to communicate a festival, to communicate a good story, that's okay. But all this child and all these old people, my vision for the future is more to bring generations together, that they have something to do. That the story is what we made child shirts, child shirts with, in Germany we would say, wir wollen wieder Rasenmähen, or wir wollen wieder, we want to pick up cherries, or we want to cut the green. I think simple questions. I think that's the story. Old people start when they're now 70. They want to be completely independent. There's no communication with the upcoming generation. And the answer is to make plastic green around the house, because when you are 70, you are not really happy to cut the green every weekend. And where I ask, where are all the children from the neighbors, or your own children, or the children of the children, to cut the green for an eyes or what else? And on the other perspective, where are... why the old people, the getting older people, ask the children for doing something together? Where is the combination between the generation that people are living with?
Yeah.
And that makes me a little nervous. It was fantastic for us to have 2002, Patti Smith on stage, and 2003 was it? It was with Conor Oberst. It was an 18-year-old, unbelievable musician with a powerful 57-year-old icon. Oh, it was God for me. I grew up with Patti Smith. I bought this record 2 times because not why I like it so much, because I listen and then I need a new one. It was done, the first one. This record is really part of my history. Beatles, Horses, they are really fantastic, and it was a dream for me to have Patti Smith on the festival.
The thing that impresses me a lot when I come here is every year, I mean this is the 7th year in a row that I've come to Albert, and every year there's something slightly different about the way things are set up. Maybe like a couple of years ago you changed the face of where the stage was. So before it used to face right to the back, and then you just turned it slightly and it made things a lot better. And then a couple of years ago you added the screen outside the mirror tent. This year I noticed you made that beer garden outside the mirror tent just a bit bigger. And it's never a change for the sake of just changing something. Everything seems to be changed to what can we do to make it better for somebody. For somebody who's here, because you know, the Spiegel tent is a fantastic venue as it is, can only hold so many people, and you've got so many people at the festival. And just the introduction of that screen has created a complete vibe over, like in the beer garden area, which is completely different to the rest of the festival. And it's such a lovely place to be. And it's like every year we come back, it's like, oh, they've changed this, they've changed that. But have you ever put on the festival that you're really happy with yet?
I think you are clever guys. You understand. You understand definitely what is the right moment. I think last year with your podcast, with Lucy Bear and the breeze and the atmosphere and the pretty women and the cold beer in your hand, the simple things what you can turn on. It was the closest moment last year with Grizzly Bear and Bon Iver to on a perfect festival. I don't know, in the end of the day, we are really looking for the perfect festival. What happened when we have the perfect festival?
Then we stop it.
I think it's a way. Emil Nikolaisen told me, music is a trip. It don't mean it was drugs, it means it's to tell a story. It's a kind of a development, and the festival is also a kind of development, that we come every month together and develop what probably we could do better, or what was the reaction on the last festival? Could we a little bit move the thing to a better to a better solution. Everybody, we got a lot of information from our shareholders, from the helpers, from the supporters, and from musicians, the audience. We have, after the festival, a lot of information, and then we work out with this information and with our dream to make sure we compose it to a next small step. But yeah, believe me, we talk about small steps, but it's not, it's, I think it was the best thing for us is that there's nobody there gave us £1 million euros to say, here, do what you want.
Do you think that Halder as a festival, I mean, always interests me that it's now it's known as Haldane Festival. I know you can always say that, like, you know, Glastonbury, but it is associated with a particular place in the world. Mm-hmm. But Haldane is a village festival in many, many ways. And it's in some ways it's informed by the fact that it is still a very small village festival that stays in that particular spot. And you have this strange thing, but you in some ways you have a very universal festival as well. It's very local and it's very universal.
And this story is very exciting because I like to find the consensus between the urban thing and the country thing. And often it's a story of consensus. I like the consensus of quality and the motivation of quality.
Yeah.
I think our cooperation partners, we find them when they have a clue about quality, but it's not quantity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
And it's very exciting what you ask me regarding this thing, because there are the people that are living in the city and there are the people that are living in the countryside. They are farmers, they are stupid, they have no clue of what happened in the world.
Yeah.
And the people in the city, they know what happened in the world, but they ask for bees, for gardens, for vegetables. And when it is hot in summer, they are searching for a lake 2 or 3 hours. I think, but for me it's very important to find an understanding from both sides. And I think it's part of the vision.
Yeah.
To say, it's not a story to tell that I can explain some good things without to explain the bad.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think when I say you're an asshole, it means I'm perfect.
Mm.
It's stupid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's boring. And and I think regarding the festival is organic. The family affairs we developed for the organization, we had 18 families. It was really hard to explain to people. The families have not the job to make. That's a family for water, that's a family for electricism, that's a family for stage, and that's a family for fans.
Yeah.
It's stupid. All the families have own names, and the people in this family, they must only look like what the Broken Record singer means last year.
Yeah.
They have a good festival, don't drink too much, and looking at each other. So
yeah.
I like this. It was really brilliant sentence. It means to have a look for other people,
yeah,
take care of everything.
It's almost, that's the other thing I always pick up from Alder, is this incredible cross-information current that you have, things that you have a lot of people who inform other people about things. So, you know, there'd be a lot of people who'd be, you know, intelligent in one level of music, you know, super intelligent people go, oh, I know this band and all that, I know what's going to happen in 3 months' time, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you have a lot of people who actually aren't really interested in that. And that actually makes quite an interesting cross-current, because you have lots of people who would never normally meet in one place, you know, they wouldn't come together at
all. That's the one thing. But the other thing is, it's to learn, in the end of the day, it's not a question of 100%, it's a question of 70%.
Yeah.
And we are happy.
Yeah.
I think when we talk, when everything is on a good way, but some points are not really working well, then we look next year to make this better. And then, but I think, I hate the situation, I think we're human. Mistakes are possible, but it's very important to say the direction must be right, and to sometimes we must learn to be happy with 70%, and some special things like the technical thing and other things, take care of the audience or the security stuff, it must be 100%. You cannot normally a good festival is a compromise, or not, it's a combination of people that are thinking in numbers and people that are thinking in pictures, and bring them together and they do it with respect. Yeah. Then you have a basic for good things.
Yeah. Well, I think the ideal compliment you can put to this place is over the 7 years that I've been here, I know that at certain points in the camping field, I know who's going to be parked in certain places because they come here every year and they're set up in the same place and they have, I mean, they bring all sorts of stuff with them, yeah, but they're here every single year.
I know, the same time.
I get the feeling there's a lot of people come here. The lineup doesn't matter.
Yeah, probably. I think it's a little bit now. I think a lot of people coming. It's a little bit of coming home.
Yeah.
I think the society is they lose things from home every day, and now it's a little bit coming home, and that's very important.
No, I think that's the other thing as well. If you don't mind me saying it, it's the fact that you talk about, you know, you don't turn up every year. Every year at Alder, we meet someone new who's really, really interesting. So you have this interesting thing where you have this nice feeling that people, yeah, you have this feeling, oh, I'll see such and such, I'll see Volker, or I'll see Marcus, or all these people you're going to see for once in a year who are going to be there, or you're in it. It's great. And then all of a sudden you meet 2-3 people every year who are fantastic. They're really, really interesting people.
Lina has a question in interview.
Yeah.
What do you expect from the festival? Which I think the interview means which bands he is really looking forward to.
Yeah.
And he means, I'm looking forward to meet the people there.
Yeah.
Old friends and people there only see in Ireland. And that's a good combination.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. I think
but in the end of the day, it's a story of people. This festival is a story of people.
Yeah.
It's a communication between musicians, audience, promoter, supporter, fire department, police, everybody in the same boat.
Yeah.
We explained it over years that please, I think in the end of the day, it's a thing of a deep trust in a good community for a weekend. Everybody has the same target, to have happy days.
And I think we should wrap that up on that.
We're having happy days and we are many more.
Now we're gonna go and catch the rest of Sleepy Sun for a start, and then we're gonna see Dan Deacon go and wreck the tent, hopefully. We're excited about Dan wrecking the tent. And then even though we've got the manager of the festival sat next to us, we're gonna slip backstage and sit by the campfire at the end of the night, even though he's probably gonna tell us not to.
Right, well, okay, yeah. So there you heard from Stefan, who's a lovely gentleman.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if
there aren't many true diamonds of kind of rock and roll organised people that we've met who we just really have all the time to love for. But
Stefan's one of them, for sure, absolutely.
And Lena too, we love you too.
Absolutely. So there you go. So let us in next year, won't you?
Yeah, so after we tell that, you probably heard a bit of The Tallest Man on Earth playing behind that interview, which obviously you gather that we didn't get to see all of
it
said. But what we did was very good, and I have to say there was a lot of excitement in the crowd.
Oh yeah, he's quite trendy, isn't he?
He's doing well, and he went down well. But we basically ran as fast as we could over to the mirror tent to see one of our favourite bands at the minute, and that was Sleepy Son. And they did not disappoint.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Oh, they were great.
They were absolutely fantastic, especially the last track. I think they did Bridge for the last track, which went on for about 15 minutes, and absolutely, for once, they turned it. It was absolutely thumpingly loud, wasn't it? I mean, they're one of these sort of dusty blues kind of thing, and you're thinking, well, yet again, it's got that folk tinge. Nothing wrong with it, but they have this, I don't know, they have this sort of extra thing about them, this extra sort of snarl that gives them a bit of, there's menace in their sound, and they just destroyed the place.
There's a real good kind of doom kind of element in there, but they're just so, I don't know, just so powerful, I think is the word
absolutely.
Because they really just fill you from your feet up, just full of this noise, and you can't take your eyes off them.
Nope.
And you just can't avoid it because it just surrounds you. But they were Brilliant.
I would really, really go and see really Sleepy good. Sun as much as possible if you can. I mean, I know they're, I mean,
yeah,
they're at Lowlands soon. They're doing the festivals now. They might be in England at the end
they're
of the
playing,
world.
They're playing with Bear in Heaven as well, which is a rather bizarre 1-2 shot, I think. But that would be a great night, honestly.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Really go and see Sleepy Sun if you can. Really you can't go wrong
with that. And then we saw a bit of Yes here.
Yep.
And, well...
Yeah, I mean, I like the Yes here. They're all right. The record's okay.
Yeah, you're nay.
I mean, it's difficult to say. That is the question, isn't it? I mean, you know...
I haven't made my mind up on them.
Neither, I mean, live, no. I think as a record, they made some good records, but I think they're essentially a studio band who desperately need to find some sort of personality to wrap around that can bring the music forward. And that's one thing that there's a lot of bands at present, that it's very easy to make records in bedrooms, and it's great that people do, but there's... Obviously, the whole thing about playing live is the fact you've got to bring your personality to win people over. And that's why we talk about Rocks, you know, who have, in my opinion, a decidedly average LP, but a fantastic live show.
Oh, she was brilliant.
Yeah. So, that's the thing with the late Yes here, who have a lot of promise, but you're sort of thinking, well, come on, let's have a bit more personality, really.
Yeah, I mean, they went down well, as everybody went down
everyone
well.
Everyone went down well.
We're just becoming
and I think also...
Stuttering yeah,
I mean, we are sometimes.
I can't say I've made my mind up.
And I think the fact that the National are on after them really got the crowd are absolutely desperate for the National.
No, there wasn't a person in the field who wasn't there.
That's exactly. Apart from us, who were...
Yeah, but no, we basically heard on the grapevine that there was this guy, Dan Deacon, and someone just said, whatever you do, go and see him. He'll wreck the place.
Yeah.
And if anyone says that to us, that's like, okay,
right, we're going.
We'll be there. We'll be there. Yeah. So we went into the mirror tent, and God bless our former Incendiary co-founder, Jonathan Deckel, but it looked like he'd walked into the building.
He did.
With Deidre Barlow's glasses on.
Yeah, I was or Christopher Biggins.
Or Christopher
glasses.
Biggins. This guy was basically at the front, and he wasn't on stage. That's the other thing. The thing we must get across. He wasn't on stage.
He was in the stage. In front of the crowd. Stage, yeah.
And they basically gaffer taped this table to the floor.
Yeah. Because it needed
about 40 rolls of tape.
Yeah.
And stuck some things on, and then he basically,
including a green skull,
played a set that we. What got so excited about, we ran backstage afterwards, grabbed a bunch of people, and made everybody talk about how wonderful it was. So just have a listen to the state of us. Yeah, you might not comprehend all of it, but I think you'll get an idea of just
how good it was.
Just how good it was.
All right, we've all come to sit and talk to you now for one reason and one reason alone, and that's because we've just seen Dan Deacon, and, well, okay, just say what you thought of it.
Well, shall we start from my left, it's Mariska. What did you think of Dan Deacon, Mariska?
It was an experience.
Well, we can say that again. I haven't danced like that since about 1987-88. I absolutely went mental. He's got an Iron Maiden t-shirt on, he just twiddled loads of knobs, the whole place went absolutely fucking bonkers, there's a glitter ball above everyone. It was, I don't know, it was like a mix between Camp Michael Jackson and I don't know, something like a guy called Gerald, wasn't it? It was a wonderful experience.
Well, I'll put it this way, I hate electronic music, I hate dance music, and that was one of the best gigs I've ever
seen
in my entire life. I was in tears halfway through that, and not because, well, I was almost in tears because someone almost broke me toe, but that was another point. I was in tears because it was just such a beautiful moment.
And it was
wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
So, Marcus.
And the other people around us will tell us that as well.
That's right, Marcus.
Marcus, what did you think?
What did you think about that gig? How good was that?
I would say nothing. My English is so bad, but I think so. It was feeling like the wild rave years in the 90s.
Yeah, fantastic.
Great. Mark, tell us what you thought of that.
That was pure rock and roll.
It was rock and roll. We were talking with one of the runners of this wonderful festival earlier this evening, and he said the whole idea of this festival is to kind of make that relationship between the artist and the audience the most important thing.
Yeah, well,
and you will never ever get find a distillation or a mix between audience and artist than what we've just witnessed.
Yeah, that is incredible. I've never seen so many people want to touch green strobe light.
I got literally
my life
forced out of the way and pushed against the metal bar because there were a bunch of lads fighting each other in order to touch a green plastic skull. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Sublime.
It was.
So half a gig I had traffic lights in my eyes because they were stood in front of this thing that went red, yellow and green.
Let's put it this way, the National are up there, they're supposed to be very good, the National, I'm sure they are, but we just can't be bothered.
We've seen the National
It would be an anticlimax. And we sat here drinking free beer, thanks Stefan, even though you don't know it. And we've knacked ourselves backstage and everyone's just ignored us, so that's fine. And we'll carry on drinking beer, but we've had a fantastic
Why is that not the last gig of the festival?
I don't know.
Because nothing can follow that.
But nothing can follow
nothing.
That.
Nothing. But it wasn't even on a stage. It was in the crowd to start with. I mean, let's face it, it turned into 1983 where he made a big circle in the middle of the tent and got everyone to have a dance competition.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? It was great fun. What were we going to say, Marissa?
I was never ever going to let anybody say to me, let me stick your hand in the air, let me say A-O, but
and
this man made me sit on the floor, made me point at my neighbour, and made me kiss my hand or whatever.
Put it in somebody else's face.
Yeah, put it in someone else's face.
Yeah,
During the gig, I was thinking about the Phantom living since generations in the skull cave. You know the comic?
Yes.
Generations, his father, grandfather's father, lived always in the skull cave.
And
it was skeletal
rules again.
And now we have a new arrival here. We have Richard, another Richard.
Another Richard.
Richard, tell us what you thought of Dan Deacon.
It was the most hilarious thing I've seen this whole festival. It was the thing you imagine they would never book, but they did.
And it worked.
Well, it always worked, because last year they had fucking Health, like 3 in the morning, and it was like the best thing of the whole festival.
The whole festival
is problem pop. Like,
I've got to say, that's up there with the single moment of all British sea power throwing tulips into the crowd.
Not a good moment. Yeah.
And the music was so layered. It sounded like diarrhea, but it was so danceable.
It was brilliant. It changed every 20
seconds.
It was incredibly interesting, and just watching the look on everyone's face. I mean, there's not many gigs I've seen in that tent where people have been climbing on each other's shoulders, throwing each other around all over
the place.
Crowd
surfing at a dance music, rock and roll, extravaganza.
Dance contest.
We need to mention dance contest. That wasn't a gig, that was an experience. That was like a massive 300 people loving.
And if I may bring you back to what you said earlier on, in the actual place itself, it takes a normal DJ 4 hours to build up to something as magnificent as that. And he did it within 20 seconds.
Within 40 seconds, he had us all on our knees, slapping each other on our foreheads. It was incredible.
Yeah, that sounds really dreadful, but it means it in a really nice way.
And even the sound check was good. Come on, even the sound check.
Can you turn the light on, please?
Can we turn this amp down? I don't want to kill their ears.
Yeah, right, we can turn it up. In fact, shall we just
that's it? Probably the comment of the night. Can we please turn this down? I'm about to deafen them. Brilliant. We'll be back tomorrow.
We'll be rounding all the shit up. But it's great to see everyone. No, actually, how can I say that to a fucking thing sat there? Never mind.
Dan Deacon, he came, he saw, he conquered.
So, make us that what you will.
Yes, but there's one thing you need to do. You need to go and see Dan Deacon.
Yeah,
you do.
Absolutely.
And you need to take 50 of your friends with you.
You need all your friends. And you need to just ensure that you get onto the dance-off competition. And that you're able to also hold your hands in the air. Something I haven't done since primary school.
I would advise you to stay away from the metal kind of barriers at the front, because you could get trapped against
them.
And you could end up like a coat hanger, like I did at one point.
Exactly.
But what you will end up with is someone coming up to you after a gig and just saying, just go and hug him, man. It was incredible.
It was so much fun.
So after that, we either had the chance to hang around and watch the whale watching tour.
Which we didn't.
Apologies.
Apologies.
We've missed the last band at every night this year.
Yeah, we have. We've done very well about that.
But the National were on the main stage, but we were so in such a euphoric state after Dan Deacon that after having seen the National last year, who pretty much bored us senseless, although they went down, we thought, we can't handle this.
No.
So we went backstage and sat around the campfire with villagers and a bunch of other people and drank some vodka and sang some songs.
We did. A lovely
we sang Cock-a-doodle-oink.
Cock-a-doodle-oink to the villagers. Hopefully that'll be in their new album.
We may introduce you to Cock-a-doodle-oink at some point.
But not yet.
But not yet. we may have to wait up. But yeah, we sat up. But I did sneak up because I could just hear the roar of the crowd.
Yeah.
And it was easily the loudest roar of the weekend.
Yeah.
But I went, apart from the loving that was after Dan Deacon, but from the main stage, I went up and I watched about 10-15 minutes of National, and I have to say, they won me over.
Yeah, they were.
They were very good, and the crowd were just going ballistic for them.
Yeah, they were.
Really good. They pretty much brought the main part of the festival to a close. Mm-hmm. We then sat around the campfire
drinking vodka and bayonets. I wouldn't try it, hipsters, because day was not good, was it?
No, but then we were also with the man who, even though he was sat 3 feet away from the fire, was freezing cold, so he put half a forest on it every 5 minutes. The fire was about 7 foot high.
The fire could have basically burnt a Viking longship.
It tanned us more than the sun did.
It was unbelievable. Oh, I'm cold! So let's put some more logs in the fire. So it was one of those.
It was mad, but it was a wonderful end to it.
As usual, a wonderful festival.
And
there we are. So we'll hopefully report next year to you all about Haldane, and we'll see you soon.
Well, I think it's obvious that the full highlight of the weekend was Dan Deacon.
That Dan Deacon, nothing, absolute countryman.
Any close, but I think
Neil's
Fram thing was good. I would probably say,
and Gary.
Gary were brilliant, just because they were so bad. But they're brilliant. No, I think Daniel Benjamin really impressed me. I have to say that just that little moment in the Black Atlantic when they went outside,
it was just
such a wonderful atmosphere to be a part. And for me, Wendy McNeil.
There's obviously a few loads more highlights we could go on and on about, but those are the standout moments. See Wendy McNeil entranced the crowd in the Spiegel tent. The Neil's Fram moment, the Dan Deacon moment. I also thought Sea Bear were absolutely wonderful as well.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing actually I really, really enjoyed this year was actually the outside big bar outside the Spiegel tent.
Yeah.
Because it took the pressure of having to charge into the Spiegel tent. You could think, all right, I know you're not seeing the bunk.
Fight your way through the crowd to get to wherever.
Exactly. You could just have a beer and a sausage in outside.
Yeah, but also, they put the, was it last year they put the screen up, or the year before? Every year we go back, there's something a little different.
And this year.
And every year, it's also a little different.
It just helps it along, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, it does. But it's just become a great little beer garden, and it's great stuff.
Yeah, I can't argue with beer gardens.
Yeah, but anyway, we then packed up in the morning, and we went off to Clever and climbed up a tower for reasons I still don't understand.
I still feel
we ate in a place called Cockloughen.
Yeah, we did. Which had a toilet which reminded me of the ferry from I'm out into Newcastle.
Yes.
And then somehow, I don't know how we got back, we went somewhere else, but I can't remember, because then we nearly crashed.
Yeah, we nearly crashed because we did some things to Aretha Franklin's records. Irreparable. So Aretha, we are sorry.
Yeah, we are.
Our driver, Mark, nearly killed us because he was crying with laughter so hard we had to pull over. In the middle of the autobahn.
Not clear.
Anyway, all that's left to say is thank God we're home.
Indeed.
Thank God we're clean.
Indeed.
And Haldane,
we'll see you next year.
It's been wonderful.
Take care.